From prairies to mountains, pine forests to deserts, the river deltas to their headwaters. If it's in Texas, it's on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Mr. Texas, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio on the high ground of Texas, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis, and done all without a corporate management muzzle or filter. Our Lone Star story of the day, my friends, redistricting moving along, but deadline is looming. Texas House districts had to grow a lot in West Texas because each state House district had to add 25,000 residents. I'll give you the latest update. Our Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing the very best in drug and alcohol testing service. Trucking firms, remember, you got to register for the clearinghouse, and your CDL FMCSA drivers must register too. Allied Compliance will help keep you legal. Reach them at AlliedCompliance.com. Private sector spaceflight, the Houston Chronicle's anti-business business writer, and Elon Musk's Tesla, and the truth on California. Yeah, it's all kind of together, and that includes Captain Kirk's trip up to space today from West Texas. It did happen successfully. Southwest and other firms, American Airlines, others, are to ignore. They're going to ignore the state law and state order on vaccine mandates. They don't care. Isn't it funny how they'll claim they're hiding behind the rule of law, and yet there is no federal law? There's really nothing that gives the president the authority to order this kind of thing. And yet the state law is even clearer than federal law and certainly has more jurisdictional grounds, and yet they're just going to ignore it. Well, this tells you this is all politics, my friends, not about your health. Political news includes a rhino announcing no reelect bid to the Texas House. That's good news. And remember, all new members of the Listener Club during October will be in a drawing to win an author-signed copy of Cowboyhood, the newest book in the award-winning Wilder Good series from our friend Nathan Dahlstrom. So go join the Listener Club at PrattOnTexas.com. While you're there, you can click through and listen, get the podcasts of the show and of our interviews, and listen whenever it's convenient for you. PrattOnTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. There was a nice write-up by Brian Bethel in the Abilene Reporter News. Former federal judge Jorge Solis, who got his start in Abilene, has died at 70. It's a very lengthy, nice rundown of his career, but Jorge Solis became chief judge of the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas. He started in Abilene, and he, 1951, is born in San Ignacio. They moved to Abilene in 1955. Couldn't even speak English when he started elementary school, but he mastered it. And then I believe went on to McMurray and I think UT Law. Graduated Abilene High School in 69. Yeah, I went to McMurray College, earned a degree in history and political science, and eventually made it to being chief judge of the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas. Jorge Solis, dead at 70, died this last Friday. Man run over and killed after falling off a trailer in Scurry County. This is a terrible story. KRBC reporting that Larry Valadez, 37, of Waco, he was working on one of these they were picking up signs, I think, from the highway, replacing signs, something like that, pulling road signs up, and he was on the back of a flatbed trailer. The wind started to move the signs he had already piled up, and he leaned on them and fell off, trying to hold them down, and fell off and was just immediately run over and killed. Just absolutely horrible. Prayers for his family. And that story from KRBC. Texas Tech School of Veterinary Medicine rightly honored former chancellor and former state senator for his vision and foresight, and an anonymous donor paid for this. That's a good thing, because Robert Duncan deserves better than he got treated. He got run out on as chancellor, and just immoral. It's same kind of stuff happened to me. They're aggressive people that want to steal other people's stuff, and it's just what happens. And it's sad, but Bob Duncan was a good state senator. He's a big leader in Austin. He was a very good chancellor at Texas Tech in the new veterinary campus. The courtyard's now known as the Robert L. Duncan Plaza, and I think that's nice. Former Lubbock pediatric nurse practitioner who worked at University Medical Center has now been sentenced to 2 years in state prison for inappropriately recording women in his bathroom. The sentence, though, was suspended to 5 years of community supervision and 30 days in the Lubbock County Clink. If he completes all that without incident, he won't have to go to the state jail for 2 years. Zachary Redding was his name. He was sentenced on 2 counts of invasive visual recordings after an open plea in the 140th District Court under Judge Douglas Freitag. And so that's some headlines for you. It's a really good headline. Way to go up just northeast, northwest of Plainview, about 60 miles southwest of Armadillo. Little town of Nazareth, Texas. 311 people live there. Well, that's the official population. Who knows? But they've become the 36th city in Texas to outlaw abortion, with one of the great sanctuary city for the unborn ordinances. If you want to get your town going on that, they've got a site for that now. www.sanctuarycities, that's plural, sanctuarycities4, spelled out properly, sanctuarycitiesfortheunborn.com. www.sanctuarycitiesfortheunborn.com. Get that going in your town. All right, my friends. What else in this headline? I've got so many things to get to. Oh, want to remind those of you in Lubbock that on October 28th at 6:15 p.m., they're going to have a big program by one of these real leaders in this, Carol Ayala. We reported on her work a lot back out of Austin a couple of years ago. It's How to Guard Against Sex Indoctrination in Our Schools. They're inviting teachers, administrators, parents, pastors, youth pastors, concerned citizens, anybody who would benefit from knowing how to catch this stuff. That's going to be October 28th in Lubbock, and you've got to RSVP to them by Sunday the 24th, and you can do that at I don't know. This is just a bad way to ask people to attend, but it's they need a website name or something. But it's CITZ and the number 4ED, and like Citizens for Ed, CITZ 4, the number 4ED at gmail.com. That's coming up 28th of October. We're going to talk with somebody about that maybe tomorrow or the next day, have that on the show. By the way, today in Texas history, this is the day, October 13th in 1845, that voters of the Republic of Texas approved an ordinance to accept annexation by the U.S. by a vote of 4,245 to 257. They also adopted the proposed state constitution by 4,174 to 312. So that was the vote. This is the day they voted for it, my friends, in 1845, beginning the end of the great Republic of Texas. It's also the day in 2014 the Wright Amendment ended so that you could fly out of Love Field to any state you wanted, and that just really hurt all the smaller cities around that really benefited from Southwest's required hopscotch strategy. All right, my friends. Oh, did y'all catch? Oh, our look at Texas history sponsored by USA Investigations, providing professional surveillance, witness interviews and statements, criminal and civil investigations, including workers' comp and much more. Investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. Did y'all catch these traitors? The Daily Mail story got it right. Navy engineer's wife arrested with her husband for selling nuclear submarine secrets to an unknown foreign power. Did you get that? The woman's a leftist who supports the, quote, the resistance and Hillary Clinton, and posted stuff about stopping Donald Trump on her social media, posted pro-Black Lives Matter rants online, raged against Trump and praised Hillary. Now, that's your latest bunch of traitors who are real traitors, not what their fellow leftists keep calling people who simply had legal objections to an election, legal, and wanted to do everything through the legal process. They call us the traitors. Uh-huh. Well, there's their people selling our nuclear submarine secrets to a foreign power, allegedly. I don't know if you've seen those stories, but you might not have seen that we're talking about leftists here involved in that. Texas redistricting news coming up when we return from the break here on the Texas Hour. Stay with us.
We're talking Texas. More after this.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem. Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually.
You can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. HurleyBenefits.com. HURLEY Benefits.com.
Farm tractors, semi-trucks, golf carts, ATVs, and even forklifts. What do they all have in common? Batteries. Texas Battery has the correct batteries for all, including commercial, industrial, and agricultural machines. Texas Battery has what's needed for tractors and combines to ATVs and forklifts, and Texas Battery has the right cables when yours need replacing, all with Texas-sized service. Keep your equipment and toys working with Texas Battery. Texas starts with TexasBattery.com. That's TexasBattery.com.
Brett believes, school or not, the only thing that'll stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Now, here's a good guy with a gun, Robert Pratt of Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. The Texas House has approved new district lines I love the headline at the Austin American-Statesman, that protect GOP minority or majority in the chamber. Of course, that's what all parties do when they do redistricting. The House met for, 16 hours? A debate over this thing started yesterday and went till, 2 or 3 in the morning, 3 a.m. this morning, and then they immediately began a new day so they could give initial and final approval to the day in the same debate because, again, it was a new day. 16 hours of debate with a lot of little amendments. Some were adopted and weren't, but I like how that Madeline Meckleberg at the Austin American-Statesman put it. The House, it protects incumbent lawmakers from both parties. And that's what you've got to realize is always the big thing first when it comes to redistricting. The story points out that, of course, Democrats criticize the map for the House districts, failing to reflect the rapid growth of the Hispanic Asian populations. And Todd Hunter, state rep of Corpus Christi, authored the House map, said that's bull. He said the map creates three new so-called majority-minority districts, two where Hispanic residents make up the majority of the population and one with black residents in the majority. Well, he knows. He passed the map. Some Democrats don't care whether it's true or not. Anyway, the map's passed 83-63. And during the debate, there were a lot of amendments proposed by Democrats, claiming the new map dilutes the power of minorities. It doesn't dilute anything. That would mean reversing it, and it certainly doesn't. And the fact is, even the press themselves point out this is basically, like that first line said, protects incumbent lawmakers from both parties. In other words, it was a pretty conservative drawn map in the sense of didn't make a lot of big changes. And I don't even want to read you all their racist crap that the Democrats come up with. They did, indeed, after the long debate, approve some small tweaks to different districts across the state. That's to be expected. Largest changes were in Harris and Dallas counties. In Austin, Representative Rodriguez made some small changes to the districts in near downtown and adjusting the borders of his districts and stuff. They approved an amendment, I don't like this, we should have played hardball, from that far leftist terrible state rep Erin Zwiner of Driftwood that would redraw her residents back into her district. Why? They've drawn people out of their districts for decades and decades and decades, and she's one of them that it would have been good for the whole state and the constituents to get rid of her. The original draft map would have moved her from House District 45 into neighboring House District 73, a more Republican area. So she got them they relented and went soft on her, and they shouldn't have because she's the type who would never return the favor. Never, ever, ever. She's a radical leftist. Anyway, so keeps Wimberley in the same district instead of dividing it. Debate was mostly cordial, they write in the Statesman piece, but one amendment sparked intense exchanges between lawmakers. Yeah, when an Hispanic person doesn't toe the line. Representative J.M. Lozano, Republican of Kingsville, proposed a change to districts in the Rio Grande Valley that would make House District 37 more competitive for his party. Oh, how can that be? I thought if you're brown, you have to be about democracy. It's all bull. Representative Alex Dominguez, Democrat who currently represents HD 37, spoke in opposition to the proposal and said Lozano did not run the change by members of the Rio Grande Valley delegation before offering the amendment. Representative Eddie Lucio III of Brownsville, by the way, he's retiring. He told members this is likely the last time he'll ever address the House during debate. Okay. Please let our delegation speak its mind and vote no on this amendment. Not too bad. It passed 72-70, and that's the way it should. El Paso lawmakers did end up paired. There's just no way around that. Lino Ortega and Claudio Ortiz Perez They're all in the same district. And, you know, you got one of them going on about, to any judges who would review these proceedings, I ask, how many more decades of minority population growth is needed before this body will actually look like people it represents? In other words, look, if all this stuff about minority, it's real simple. If it's true that it's being drawn where minorities don't get their thing, it's only because the, quote, minority and, quote, populations choose to live in close proximity to each other. That's the only reason. We have to draw the maps under all kinds of rules. If people were just spread out equally, this would never be an issue. We can't go draw all the districts in the state just in pack them in, you know, certain minority areas. We don't even need to talk about it. It's just crazy. They will be challenged in court. They always are. House still has two of the redistricting duties. They've got to approve the new maps for the Senate, which have already gone through committee there. Maybe that'll get done today. And states' congressional districts, senators already worked on those. They're down to the last few days. James Frank out of Wichita Falls says his district will expand to 14 counties. Right now it has Archer, Baylor, Clay, Ford, Knox, and Wichita counties. I told you about this on the show a week or two ago, that under the House bill, it'll be including Cottle. So HD, his District 69 would have Cottle County, Fisher, Hardeman, Haskell, King, Motley, Stonewall, and Wilbarger County. You got to do that. And here's why you had to do that, and why we're extraordinarily lucky across Northwest Texas that, well, if Democrats were in charge, because the region as a whole votes Republican, believe me, you would have lost actual seats from the geography by drawing all kinds of weird-looking gerrymandered things so that they go and capture minority portions of cities 400 miles away, and then have, you know, you'll be 400 miles away even, you know, in some seat, and that's what they would have done. So don't buy all this stuff that, you know, fair, whatever. You had to add 25,000 people to each House district because of the population growth. 25,000. You think about a lot of our counties, the countywide population is only 3,000 or 4,000, 5,000 in some cases. There's just nowhere to go to get this stuff. So the districts all across northwestern Texas had to be redrawn, and yet they had to find a way to get 25,000 more people in them for House districts, which are, you know, generally your smallest population district, state house districts. So if you think about the population, you realize what an incredible job they've done by not wiping out 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 representative seats. So, you know, overall, it's okay. I mean, they should be able to play a little more hardball on a few of these activist types, but overall, they've done a pretty good job with it this year, and it's been the smoothest redistricting operation I've ever witnessed. Of course, everybody knows they'll spend 8 years or more in court, but we won most of those cases all the way up to 2 years ago. Good news out of the House, though, that liberal Lyle Larson of San Antonio, who is sort of like a groupie fanboy or something of Joe Strauss, has announced he won't seek re-election. You'll remember he's ranked by the Rice University deal as the most liberal Republican in the last session. He opposed the restriction on critical race theories, teaching in schools. He supports Obamacare expansion. He's voted with Republicans on a lot of things, but he's out been trying to get a Texas Independent Party together to back, you know, with Joe Strauss and all that. And, you know, he was a Strauss sycophant and one of Strauss's lieutenants during his horrible reign in the Texas House. And he was elected back, when was he elected? 2010 is when Lyle Larson got elected. He's now not going to run for re-election, and that is a very good thing. By the way, that Matthew Dowd, the former Bush advisor and ABC News political guy that's running for the Democrat nomination for lieutenant governor, he put out on Twitter, I have a couple of barred owls that live on the land here who each morning before sunrise speak their truths, sometimes in the midst of my own prayer / meditation, because if you're a lefty, you can't admit, you know, Christian prayer. So it has to be prayer / meditation. I feel they are sharing wisdom. Today it is, let go of the end, just do right in the moment, fight today for others. Democrat Matthew Dowd's getting his spiritual advice from owls. What more can the Democrats offer up in this coming primary?
He's only silent during the breaks.
Pratt's back after this.
It's hard to explain why my greatest customer service experience wasn't at a luxury resort or private club, but was going to the dentist in Costa Rica, Dr. Silvia Zuniga of Dental Care. There are big Costa Rica practices which, while saving you big money, work just like they do here, herding patients through as fast as possible to increase billings. That's not how Dr. Silvia Zuniga works. Silvia's practice is purposely small and personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. My entire trip cost us less than half my lowest quote at home, including hotel for a week, restaurants, airfare for both of us, and local transport, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years, and now you can visit Texas Tech's new Costa Rica campus nearby. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
At Thacker Jewelry, we believe in hometown service. When you walk through our doors, we want you to feel welcome and at home. An incredible story lives inside each and every piece of jewelry at Thacker's. As a West Texas jeweler, we want to help you express your love and your feeling for your family, for your loved ones, and for the generations to come.
Hello, what do you say? It's a Thacker Jewelry kind of day.
We're back with more Pratt on Texas. Join the Pratt on Texas Listener Club at PrattOnTexas.com. Just like the show, it's free. Now, here's Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, my friends. The Texas Hour, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, in these last few days of the special session, has sent a letter to ask the governor to add tuition revenue bonds to the special session call. They were, our last ones we did were in 2015, and they said there's demands and requests from schools across the state for this, so I don't know if it needs doing or not. They need to get the other stuff done first before they add anything else. Lawmakers running out of time to lower Texans' property taxes, and that ought to be tops. Aaron Anderson at the Scorecards has two proposals to lower property taxes, which the governor did put on the call, are finally moving forward toward a vote in the House, but it may be too late for lawmakers to deliver the relief when it ends. House Bill 90 and Senate Bill 1 got hearings in the House Ways and Means Committee, but stalled for over a week after September 30th in the hearings. Today, or yesterday, committee members finally approved both relief bills, and they're okay. They're small, but they're important. But who knows? It's got to go to Calendar's committee, and that's Dustin Burroughs chairs that. He better get them out, or he's going to get tagged with stocks standing in the way of property tax relief. And I don't know if they'll have time to get all that done by in the last few days. But, you know, they'll worry about a lot of other stuff. You folks in Abilene, say a prayer for Stan Lambert. He's your state rep. Stan for the lobby, Lambert. He needs it. Report out that in the Texas Minute that although it's only been in effect for less than 2 months, there are five members of the Texas House who want to change the state's heartbeat law that's saving all these babies' lives. And those five, they want to weaken the law, water it down. And that's Lyle Larson, who we just talked about in the last segment, Charlie Guerin, of course, Jeannie Morrison, Stan Lambert, and Sam Harless. There you go. So Stan is Stan's not real happy, I guess, with the saving all the babies' lives. I'm not sure. I don't know what he thinks. I don't get these people on the rape and incest of the baby. The whole point of this is that the human being is a unique human being. It is not. Its life is no less valuable due to how it was created. What's the right? Oh, well, your father didn't love your mother, so we'll put you in a camp and gas you. What is that about? It's irrelevant. We're talking about not the mother or father. We're talking about the unique human being. If you don't want to keep the child, put the child up for adoption. There are so many people lined up trying to adopt children. And no surprise here, the big stories everywhere today. I like the version at the Statesman best. Southwest American among Texas businesses defying Abbott to comply with federal vaccine mandate. So they don't. The president's order doesn't even have the quality of being legal, most likely. But they're going to stand by that. But not. They claim though that supersedes a state mandate or law. Really? Why don't you just file suit against it? There's no evidence that the President of the United States can require companies to then require a medical procedure on their employees. American, of course, they're all for it. So it doesn't Abbott's order does nothing to change it for us. Same thing at Southwest. Round Rock says starting in January, they're Dell Technologies, based in Round Rock, they're going to require anybody that enters their offices to be vaccinated or undergo weekly COVID testing. Facebook and Google have huge offices in Austin, were among the first, and they're proud of that in the Statesman, to require everybody to get this vaccine. And you got a lady, Amber Gunst, with the Austin Technology Council, saying most companies in Texas are unlikely to follow the governor's mandate. Employers don't have the option to defy OSHA standards. Really? Wait a minute. The federal government is on far shakier ground on this than is the state government. But see, this is how the country works, folks. This is all being used at every part of this to break down federalism in the entire country, figure out who complies, who doesn't, make the lists, and get ready to, you know, what's going to happen. I think if there's ever been an issue, being forced to take a medical vaccine for something like this is lose your job, your ability to make a living. If there's ever been any justification for extreme civil disobedience, this would be it. You got a hotel owner, Vijay Patel, in Austin, says he's all for the Biden's vaccine mandate. Really? Now, meanwhile, instead of just talking big, Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis is announcing the Florida Department of Health is fining one of their counties, not the $1,000 crap, $4 million for firing unvaccinated workers. Now, that's some real action. That's some action, Governor DeSantis. I like that. Would you call up Governor Abbott and explain to him the difference between chest thumping on TV and good headlines versus actually taking action that's meaningful to the people of their state? Why don't you do that, Ron DeSantis? Governor Abbott could use a little primer right now. Now, my friends, I've been trying to get to this since Monday. Big headline in the Texan.news by Isaiah Mitchell. Abbott primary opponents pressured lead Texas agency to remove the alphabet sexuality. They said LGBT here. It should just say homosexual resource page. Email show. Don Huffines, one of Abbott's 2022 primary challengers, accused him of spreading damaging ideology in August when Huffines publicized a webpage of resources for homosexual youth on a state website. Had all the transgender stuff, everything. Page was quickly taken down. Now records obtained by the Houston Chronicle indicate Huffines' tweets did indeed spur the state employees to make the website adjustment, you know, to protect the governor. According to emails, Texas Department of Family and Protective Services media relations head Marissa Gonzalez drew internal attention to Huffines' statement minutes after it was posted. DFPS spokesman Patrick Crimmins then told staff to prepare to take the page down. After the Chronicle's report, Huffines spiked the football on Twitter saying, "I told Texans I'd get this DFPS website taken down and stop Greg Abbott from using our tax dollars to promote transgender ideology." And it was there, and it was under Abbott and his appointees. Just telling you, facts are facts. "Today's report shows I kept my promise," Huffines said. The educational and support resources on this page are dedicated to helping empower and celebrate. Get that? This is a state agency. You know, providing health information, but celebrate is promotion. They're nothing in government. They shouldn't be doing this stuff, period. I don't care who it's for. The quote, this is what on the page, "The educational and support resources on this page are dedicated to helping empower and celebrate lesbian, gay," by which they don't mean happy, they mean homosexual, "bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, ally," and whatever that is, "and non-heterosexual," then they got the alphabet thing, "youth, their peers, and family." What's the state in the business? Why is the state of Texas in the business of celebrating that? Or Muslim marriage or Christian marriage? I mean, just be straightforward on the law and stuff and links to things people need at the health service. What business? See, this is what's happened. It's not about accepting or not discriminating against. Our money's being used to promote in schools and at the state health, the DFPS agency. On August 31, Huffines publicized the page and released a statement accusing the department of indoctrinating youth. Well, it certainly did. I mean, its own language proves that. Huffines said, "It's no surprise Greg Abbott won't lift a finger to prevent the sick brainwashing of Texas kids. His own political appointees have been participating in it. Now it's clear his own agency's promoting perverted and damaging ideology on parents and kids. Texas voters didn't elect a Republican governor so he could use their tax dollars to assist the human rights campaign or direct individuals to left-wing ideological groups." But that's exactly what the page did under the state agency under Abbott's people. And yet, what do you get from Abbott going out and getting those headlines over the weekend? Governor Abbott knocks gender-neutral toy aisles in California, not in Texas. Because California's actually passed a bill now where you got to have gender-neutral in the toy section. It's insane. And Abbott's out chest-thumping as usual. But what you didn't understand is he's not helping. He's not helping protect these children from these terrible drugs and puberty blockers and stuff, which, by the way, even some of the longest, most respected so-called transgender legal medical experts in the country have problems with this stuff. He's not helping us get that law passed. And rightly, the Huffines campaign's called for the firing of the employee at that state agency that put that stuff up, where it uses our money to direct people to these left-wing groups and celebrate their perversion. More Pratt on Texas in a moment.
Pratt's back in a moment after we hear from those who pay the bills.
Do you have Apple products and need professional help or repair? It's not just PCs at Jeff Barker Computer Service. Jeff Barker Computer Service is expert with Apple devices. Avoid the endless and often time-wasting overseas phone support. And here today, gone tomorrow, part-time helpers at the big box stores. Use Jeff Barker Computer Service for support of your Apple phones, tablets, and computers. Visit jbcs.com. jbcs.com to learn how Jeff Barker Computer Service can help you. jbcs.com.
Hey now, here at Campbell Containers, we have a big stock of new and used shipping containers for sale. Stop in and look over our inventory of 20 and 40 footers. We have a bunch of new 40 foot high cubes on the yard. All these containers are built in China, so buy now with our locked in low prices before any steel or trade tariffs affect us. We're located just east of Abilene on I-20 at exit 297, or check us out at campbellcontainers.com.
Bulletin from Allied Compliance Services. The Federal Motor Carrier Administration has established a CDL driver's drug and alcohol clearinghouse, and your CDL drivers must register their individual accounts. Owner-operators, set Allied Compliance Services as your third-party administrator. Employers may manage their own clearinghouse account, and Allied Compliance Services can assist you with management. Set Allied Compliance Services as your TPA and notify Allied. Learn more at AlliedCompliance.com. AlliedCompliance.com.
Those of you listening in New Mexico and Oklahoma, we know you're all closet Texans at heart. Welcome to Pratt on Texas. Now, here's the man himself, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back. Now the stuff I've actually wanted to be talking about for the whole show today. Blue Origin blasted Captain Kirk, William Shatner, to space from West Texas this morning. He's 90 years old. Now he's the oldest person to have ever traveled to space, even topping the record set by Wally Funk, who's 82 earlier this year on that first flight from Van Horn up. Everybody in the world, everybody needs to see, Shatner said through tears to Bezos after returning to Earth. It's just, there's Mother Earth, life and comfort down there. And up there, he said, pointing up, is just death. I don't know. What you see is black, and what you see down there is light. Think of the biblical allusion. You think those people thousands of years ago weren't precisely instructed by God? By the way, that's why our friend Bob Zimmerman's website's called Behind the Black. When you look up there, you just see black when you're up there. What you have given me is the most profound experience I can imagine, said Shatner. It's extraordinary. I'm so filled with emotion. Blue Origin's the new Shepard rocket launched these four folks up at 10:50 a.m. They had some delays. Went to 290,000 feet, capsule separated. Capsule climbed with its own inertia there to more than 351,000 feet, about 4 miles, 4 minutes or so after launch, past the internationally recognized boundary of space called the Kármán Line, 62 miles above Earth. Spent a few minutes in zero gravity, fell back to Texas, which is wonderful. Bezos welcomed them back, opened the door to the capsule, had popped champagne while Shatner just was looking on stoically. Shatner was really overwhelmed by it. Shatner agreed to bring some mementos from Bezos on the flight. The billionaire founder of Amazon and of Blue Origin said in an Instagram post yesterday evening, among them were paper toys Bezos said he used to play Star Trek when he was 9 years old. That's cool. Now, more importantly, a big report by Chris Bergen at NASASpaceflight.com, that's a private news site that covers all this space business, it's Ship 20 prepares for static fire, new Raptor 2 factory rises. I've taken out all the stuff that doesn't relate to Texas. This is about Texas and what's going on with the massive SpaceX investment here. The new Raptor engines are the new most powerful engines ever built. There's nothing like them in the world. And they are for the new big rocket. The Merlin engines are doing the rockets that SpaceX has been sending up. These are the new Raptor engines. The new Raptor factory is now rising out of the ground at SpaceX's rocket development and test facility in McGregor. Now, that's outside of Waco, where they test the engines. Now they're building a factory here. Tasked with supplying Raptor 2 engines to the Starship program, SpaceX is laying the foundations for its rapidly reusable rocket. With the launch tower in the process of gaining its big old thing to try to catch rockets, all that's out there. They're focusing on Ship 20 right now in the test program. 20's full engine sets, an RC-69, RC-73, RC-78, with RC standing for Raptor Center engines. Okay, so those are Raptors, the new ones. They've got RV-4, 5, and 6, and the vacuum ones, the Raptor Vacs, which those are the engines you use in the vacuum of space. And they were installing some of this on Monday, thinking there'll be some test fires today or sometime this week. And all the Raptor engines arrive at Starbase after having been processed at SpaceX's McGregor test site outside of Waco. Currently, the engines are assembled at their headquarters in Hawthorne, California, before taking a road trip to Texas for the hot fire testing on one of five available test stands. Now, be aware, SpaceX has tested all their engines at their facility in McGregor, going back for the Merlins that are flying the Falcon rockets. Elon Musk had already noted that the Raptor production would increase, aided by a new factory at the McGregor facility. So not just a test stand, we're talking about moving some high-level manufacturing to Texas. That will allow Hawthorne to focus just on the Raptor engines, the RVACs, the ones for lighting in space, in the vacuum of space. That allows McGregor to produce the main stock of Raptor 2 engines to cater for a large number of boosters and starships that each require 36 Raptor 2s in total, based on the 33 on the booster and 3 in the starship. With groundwork observed by Gary Blair over the recent weeks taken from his airplane flyovers, the latest pass noted the framework of the factories now being assembled in McGregor. While this factory will still be some time away from assembling Raptor 2s, Hawthorne's already building the streamlined version of the Raptor, with the McGregor test stands being worked on in preparation for test firings. Centralizing Raptor production and testing at McGregor in Texas will also streamline the flow of Raptors to Starbase, of course, down in Boca Chica, Texas, removing the California to Texas leg for all engines except the vacuum engines. Also, this production increase provided a fascinating scenario of how many Raptors SpaceX will require in circulation given the full reusability of the Starship system. A large stock of Raptors points to a huge fleet of vehicles, as Musk has always envisioned the full reusability of the Starship system. So anyway, this is a big deal, and they're building a factory in McGregor to build the big quantity, the high quantity version of the Raptor engines. A big deal. Now, shifting over to Elon Musk, who owns all this. Of course, he owns Tesla. And, you know, the big news was he announced he's just sick of California. He's moving the corporate headquarters of Tesla, not the big manufacturing at Fremont. In fact, he said they're going to grow that in California. The workers there, they're going to grow that. But they're going to move the corporate headquarters to somewhere around the Austin area to get out of Texas. He's so tired of this stuff out there in California. So Tomlinson, this Chris Tomlinson, how in the world Hearst Newspapers ever hired this guy to be their big business columnist? I don't know. He said, Robert, why? Is it just a liberal? No, he's anti-oil and gas. He writes the stuff all about the oil and gas business. That's one of their mainstays. They own that fuel fix. It's the energy capital of the free world, and their main newspaper hired this business guy who's had some New York Times best-selling books. He's not for it. He's anti-business, and he's also, like a lot of folks in media who didn't work in industry first, just ignorant of how business really works. He wrote a major piece today, Tomlinson, Elon Musk's move to Texas is a betrayal of California. Really? A betrayal so he doesn't have freedom? Musk legally moved to Texas a year ago and last week announced his electric vehicle company's following suit. His exit from California is a betrayal of Tesla's home state, where grants, tax breaks, and EV incentives finance the company. His arrival in Texas is a betrayal of his employees and customers. Really? What would they care? They're actually growing for employees in California. The move will, though, make the world's wealthiest man even richer. This guy's mad because he'll come to Texas and that the company won't have to pay the exorbitant taxes that California puts on him. And he goes in about, oh, he's not as popular in California as he once was, and blah, 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 and about, this guy is crazy. And the Houston Chronicle ought to get rid of him because just simply because it's like all these other media outlets. He's an offense to their customer base and their market. People having jobs. Again, he's anti-energy industry, but he thinks he's so smart, this Tomlinson. I've read a lot of his work. He's one of these guys thinks he's brilliant because he can write. He doesn't have a clue about business often. And this is a perfect example. Betrayal of California. How is he betraying? By the way, I wonder if Mr. Tomlinson bothered to read what the people in Silicon Valley think, where that Tesla headquarters is, because The Hill in Washington, D.C. has a story out today. More than half the residents living in the San Francisco Bay Area say they're considering moving out of the area permanently, according to, and it's a major poll of voters. Joint Venture Silicon Valley released poll this week. Bay Area counties found 56 respondents said they were likely to leave, and it's cost of living, which is all caused by that fat, high-cost government there. I mean, it's amazing numbers. So Tomlinson, is he betraying California, or is California politicians who are on your side of the aisle, a bunch of brainless liberals, who's betrayed whom? They've betrayed their own people. Now, their people are responsible for voting them into office, but they've betrayed them. More than half Bay Area residents plan to leave permanently, a serious major poll, not one of these little jeeky polls. And he's saying that Musk betrayed California. Good grief, what a moron that guy is. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Get on your knees and pray for your country and your state. Adios, mis amigos.